the AFL information. Now here's your hosts, Judd Crockett and Steve Fizz.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Monday episode of The Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and joining me each week, Stevie Fizz. Steve, how you doing, pal?
No!
Can you believe they are stealing Hawthorne's song and unleashing horses on the MCG on Thursday night?
That's got to be bad karma, man.
It's got to be. Like, I was talking to my brother who's Richmond member, supporter, he goes to the game. He says, they play Welcome to the Jungle, they have some war drums going, that's fine, play
that's
that.
That's great.
Or even better, release some real Tigers onto the arena. That I'm going to.
I'd go to that. That'd be good.
Big show today. We're talking a bit of trade strategy, waiver strategy, bit of news to get through. But to start off, hey, name comp.
Yeah, the name comp. We had a couple late entries, Jono. We had the Misfits SC from... at the Misfits SC on Twitter. like that if you're a music fan, like the Misfits. And Crippled Brewer sent in just the tipping wordy, which we've already seen, so we're not...
Yeah.
I like it, that's great.
It's good, but...
We've had that one. So, the winners, Jono.
Winners.
We wimped out.
We did. Split decision.
we've got a tie. We've got a tie with Alex Poole. Jono, you like the Salem Titch Trials.
I did.
And I like John Ambo's... Obi-Wan Kenobi. I thought that was...
very, very good entry.
It's got topical bias for me, that one.
It does.
So what we're going to do... Oh, and sorry, a special shout-out to Will I. Hams as well. I like that.
That was a good one.
I like that one too. But we're going to run a Twitter poll for Alex Poole and Alex and John. So we're going to put it up. So we're going to put it to you guys.
Vote for the best...
for the best team name. So the Twitter poll will be up when the show is.
Yep.
And... you know, if you want to win that T-shirt, just, you know, maybe retweet it a bit. I don't know.
Retweet it as many times. Get your mates on there to retweet it, favorite it, or like the poll, I suppose. Just vote on the poll and...
yeah. So, but yeah, but like, thanks to everyone for...
for all the entries. That was fantastic.
That was some crackers.
Yeah.
Some absolute crackers.
So, thank you very much for that. And if you do want to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter at The Draft Doctors or head over to Facebook.com/TheDraftDoctors. Hit the like button there. Plenty of content dropping now that footy is back, people.
Just one thing, I guess you could say we hedged out on that.
I think we certainly did hedge our bets on that one.
Yeah. So yeah, footy's back.
Footy's back. Week. Thursday night. Cannot wait. And speaking of Thursday night, our Thursday night show will be dropping, in the evening just before kickoff, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yep. So there we'll be having a bit of captain's corners and waiver talk and whatnot. So be sure to listen to that one as well every Monday and Thursday from now on. Into the news. Halley Bennell killed it in his waffle game, first waffle game, 23 possessions, 4 goals, and ping, there goes the calf.
Yeah, that's really bad news, man. But I got to say, man, Halley Bennell, you've got to be wary. 15 games these for the last 3 years.
We've been saying it all preseason. Big red flags, and hasn't even played a proper game yet.
But you know, I hope he comes back. I'm sure he'll kill it. But
yep. And if you haven't drafted yet, let him slide. And unfortunately for my brother who picked him up yesterday, it looks like he might be spending a bit of time on the bench. But speaking of bolters, Joel Selwood. What is it? 34 possessions, 19 contested, 11 tackles, 9 clearances, and 2 goals. If you haven't drafted him or haven't done your drafts yet, get him up your boards, people. Looks like he hasn't missed a beat.
Yeah, well, you know, a classy player like that doesn't really need much. But again, he was playing against the VFL, and that's a weak VFL.
That is true.
As well. So
the old Tigers.
But he's... I don't know, John. I still have... I guess he's a gun because we're used to seeing him as one of the top tier mids.
Yep.
But the foot problem, I hate feet problem.
Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, but yeah, he went pretty early in our drafts yesterday.
Round two. Yeah.
Yep. And Deludio.
Yeah. Again.
Not so much that calf, which he was getting over, but this one's a quad. So just walking or running laps on their head out on Sunday, but not good if you have lids.
Yeah, you know, we saw it last year. He came in, played about a half, and then missed 4 weeks after round one.
Yep.
Just, it's scary, though. So I hate soft tissue injuries.
Yep.
I suppose quad is easier to get over than a calf or a groin or anything like that.
But we saw Ollie Wines with that quad last year, and that kept him out for a bit.
Ollie Wines is made up of 90% quad.
He is. That is true. And as you heard on the intro, the Tigers will be playing Horses for their pre-game entertainment. That is not your song, Richmond. That is Hawthorn's song. You're the Tigers. There's a good song that I know. Maybe not many people have heard of it, but Eye of the Tiger, pretty good song.
It's an unknown song, but
really, really catchy song. But hey, even Let Loose Some Tigers. Just do it.
I like Horses because there's the line they go, we'll be riding on the horses way up in the sky. And it lets me imagine that if anyone has the power to get their hands on a Pegasus, it's Darryl Braithwaite. I like that.
Yeah. And my boy, Gus Brayshaw, played in the VFL over the weekend. Looked pretty good. Had 17 possessions, a couple of clearances, and no effects of that medial strain. So
that's good news.
Good, and should line up for round one.
Hmm.
As we said earlier, we had our draft over the weekend. It's good fun and had by all. Just going to quickly recap our top 10.
This is a super coach draft with captains and 10, in the bonsai format.
Yes. 10 teams. So pick 1 was Danger. Pick 2, Goldie. Pick 3, Fife. Pick 4, Ablett. Pick 5 was Pendles. Pick 6, Heath Shaw. Pick 7, Rocky. Pick 8, Steph Martin. Pick 9, Dusty Martin. And pick 10, Mundy. Pretty stock standard there, except for maybe that Mundy pick at the end, but still a quality pick.
Yeah, that was pretty much how you'd imagine it to go. I mean, yep. I thought, since there's a captains, maybe Rocky before
Heath Shaw. Yep.
But I got no problems with it. That was, yeah.
Yeah, and just one little stuff up from my little brother who was in the league. He picked the Bont as a forward, only to be told he's not a forward.
Yeah, that's...
That's just poor research.
Bad research. It's not the way to put it.
But how do you like your team, Steve?
We've all made the comments that it is maybe the greatest forward line a draft team's ever seen. I was actually really happy. Obviously, I was the guy who missed out on a ruck.
Yeah,
I feel like the team's pretty good as a whole.
Yeah. Cruz is not a bad ruckman to get deep into the draft. And mine, pretty good forwards and defence, slightly weak in the mid, but can look to trade up to some better guns there. But Robbie Gray is my best top first midfielder. Pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
So we're talking a bit of trade strategy, waiver strategy, and everything in between today. And to start off with the trade strategy, there's a few things you can do while you're out there. Generally, your 2-for-1 does come up a fair bit, you'd think, where I'm not a fan, but someone would offer up 2 solid players to get that primo gun, possible captain, or lock in a certain position.
Yeah.
For example, last year I had Harley Bunnell, and Steve offered up me an injured Sloan for Lewis Jetta. I was looking
An injured Sloan and Jetta.
Yeah,
you said
injured other way around.
Yeah, you said like I was trading Bunnell and Sloan for Lewis Jetta or something.
I had Harley Bunnell, and it was an injured Rory Sloan and a Lewis Jetta, which I was looking for a gun in my midfield, and Steve looking for the forward, but. Which it was a good trade, but unfortunately...
Well, I needed points. I needed points that week. Sloan was missing.
Yep.
It was a good trade for Jono because you were locked into...
Top 4.
Top 4, yeah. Well, top spot is it turned out, but top 4. So you could wait on Sloan. You had a little bit of forward cover with Jetta. That's an okay trade for me.
Yeah. It was win-win for both, and that's where you're sort of looking at it as well, not looking to trade rape, I suppose.
Yeah, we're generally not... You know, when you're offering up that second player as steak knives, you know, say someone comes to you, you've got Brett Leedio, who's injured, and they come to you with that a reasonable midfielder, let's say a Luke Shuey, and then they throw in like a...
Tyson Goldsack.
I'd hope he's not in your team. But who would be a good example? Jack Steele. Maybe Jack Steele's not a great example, but...
Lyndon Dunn or something like that.
Yeah, Lyndon Dunn. That's beautiful. Lyndon Dunn is the ultimate steak knives. How many times did he change teams last year?
6 at my last count.
Yeah. You know, is Lyndon Dunn going to be on your field?
Not every week, probably not.
Well, probably not, unless you're really, really lacking. So at the end of the day, you're trading a gun for a lesser player. The steak knives just make it look more attractive, but what's the value over someone in the pool, maybe?
Yeah, that's
probably
right.
Not much.
No.
So really just be careful when you're doing the 2-for-1s, and If you're trading a gun, really try to get a gun back, unless it's injured.
Yeah. And
then you're really rolling dice.
And also, with those injured players, don't put that ultimate primo price on them when they'll fit and playing. You got to, in my opinion, you just got to drop them slightly to what their market value would be, you would think.
Yeah, it's...
So if I've got Rory... You're losing points. Yeah, if I've got Rory Sloan and you've got Robbie Gray, it's not really a straight swap if Rory Sloan's injured.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
I've got to come up to Robbie Gray level there with another player, so...
One thing I always think is when you're... If you want a player, you generally... And you're going to someone... Let's say I'm coming to you, Jono, and I want, Robbie Gray, for instance. Because I'm going to you, I'll have to pay a little bit more.
Yeah, that's right. The person who initiates the trade generally pays a little bit more.
Yeah, so if you go to someone and you think it's a dead even deal, they have no... it's not on them to do the deal. You've got to...
Work hard
entice
for
them to get the deal. Maybe that's not enough. But if people are coming to you, don't accept crap.
No.
Make them pay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying no to a trade.
Yeah. And also, what I do is look to make an offer that works for both teams. So if I'm, say, strong in the midfield and Steve's weak in the defence, I could throw up a defender for one of his midfielders, and maybe, again, a set of steak knives just to make it more balanced for both of them and not totally screw them over.
Yeah, yeah. So that's they're interesting things. One thing often, and we've had questions like this so far on our Twitter and on Facebook, people are asking, hey guys, I'm in a league that just won't trade.
That's bad.
It's... But again,
that makes it fun.
Well, trade to me, if you're not trading, you're not trying.
Yeah.
And trading's fun, especially if you know the people you're playing with. But, you know, there are leagues like this that don't have much trading. We had one guy write in, he said he's been in the league for, I think it was 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And there's been one completed trade.
You don't win your league on draft day.
No, you don't win your league on draft day. You know, they can use their waiver. One thing I would say is, have a, you know, before you go, this guy's crap because he's not trading, or this guy's crap because he's not trading... How are your league settings? Are your league settings deep enough?
How many people you're playing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, are you playing over the buys? These things, like, are you playing captains? Are you not playing captains? One thing, if you're playing in a shallow league, there's no interest in
trading,
because there's all these guys are in the pool.
That's right.
I think you really want to be playing in a league where you're sort of over 200 players.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're playing with 18 teams, you want to be more than, you know, whatever the maths works out to be, where you're playing more than 200 players in teams total.
Yeah, so then you get into those mid-tier, lesser players where you can got to mine that gold too.
Yeah, but again, they become, like we talk about steak knives, they can become steak knives. Like Angus Brayshaw becomes a steak knife because he might be valuable to someone.
That's right. And that's where you can get that buy low, sell high method going, hey, I've got Gus Brayshaw myself this year, hoping to get on that lottery ticket. If he blows up, then I can pass him off to someone else.
Yeah.
Looking for that mid forward, and I can get a gun back for wherever I need it, really.
Yeah, see, I'm hoping the same with Jack Steele. He's a lottery ticket for me. I hope he comes up and I can package him up for someone who needs a forward. But yeah, also another thing to look out for, and this is really important when you're playing draft leagues. Playing draft will make you a better football fan because you're not just following the maths. You're following...
the player.
You're playing the matches, but one thing that's really important to trades is role changes.
Yeah.
If you notice someone who's had a role, like, let's say Elliot Yeo, perfect example. Last year, he was playing sort of roles, and then they just let him loose in the midfield, and he was banging out hundreds.
Went on a tear.
If you notice someone's had a role change and they're in a team, make them a reasonable offer, the sort of reasonable offer that they're going to go, oh, well, Elliot Yeo hasn't been doing much. I can get something for him here.
Yep.
And also talk about it. Talk about it, you know.
Don't just put the trade to them. Here, I want this for this.
Yeah.
Talk to them on your message boards or Facebook or whatever, your text messages. Sweeten them. Woo them. And that's all you got to do, just break them down.
Yeah, often even...
not calling them at 3 o'clock in the morning, just heavy breathing, woo them. But
Jono. So look for the role changes. That's a really important. And again, maybe you've got a player who's had a role change.
Yep.
And you can get rid of them because they're about to... Maybe they've been playing midfield and someone's come back. Like Beams is going to come back at some point this year. Maybe Mitch Robinson loses some value because he goes back to a forward role.
That's right.
And you've had Mitch Robinson killing it every week, scoring hundreds. and you're like, oh, Dane Beams is about to come back. I feel like Mitch Robinson's about to be affected, or maybe wait the week and see it.
Yep.
And you go, all right, I'm going to try palm him off for some value.
That's right. And there will be someone out there who will just see, hey, Mitch Robinson's averaging whatever this year, 105, 110, whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll just go, I like that average. And
yeah,
we'll make that deal.
Yeah. That's that's just a really, the role change is such a huge thing.
Yeah. And you also, you know, we'll talk about it a bit later in the waiver, but it's also something to watch on the waivers too, role positions and then people.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. Which I will talk about a bit later, but also trade from your strengths. So if you've got a deep midfield, or as in Steve's case, a deep forward line, he can afford to trade one of those gun forwards out now for somewhere where he might be a bit weaker, say his back line. So trade.
What are you saying about my back line? Yeah, but no, that's a good point, Joe.
Yeah, so you can afford to cut one of those guns to get a gun back in your defense or weaker positions, for a better term.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point. Or if someone gets an injury, maybe I'm looking to trade with them.
Yep.
One thing I will say, when I'm targeting a player in a trade, I'm not going to them asking what they want for that player straight out. I'm like, oh, what do you think of this guy? Is there anyone in my team you like?
Yeah.
Sort of rather than just knocking them over the head, because then they're like, wait, what? Hey, what do they want him?
Yeah.
And you maybe price yourself a little bit higher than you should.
Yep, that's a good point. Any other trade strategies you got there, Steve?
I'd say just if people aren't, like, you might go in your head, hey, I've worked out this really fair deal. Hey, I'm even paying overs for someone. Don't get cranky with it.
No, it's
on no one to trade.
That's right. If someone says no, don't worry about it. Rejig it. Come up with a different scenario to them. Just keep talking to them.
Oh, and I will also say this as well. If you're the commissioner of a league, don't be the guy who blackballs trades just because you don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay? There has to be something like maybe the Harley Bunnell situation last year. The guy who has Harley Bunnell, maybe he's playing with someone who's in a state and they haven't woken up or seen the news or whatever. And they do the trade and he's like, yeah, I got Harley Bunnell, great deal. 20 minutes later.
Oops.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a different circumstance. But by and large, if people want to trade people just because you don't think it's fair, that doesn't matter. Like, you just got to let it through.
And if you're not too sure, bounce it off the rest of the league. Say, hey, or even like a couple of or people outside the league, just say, who do play the same fantasy as you, say, hey, look, this is a trade these people have proposed. What are your thoughts? Yes, no, maybe. And then go from there. You don't say no straight away.
Well, how was this? How was this trade last year? This is a perfect example. I had Sam Mitchell and I had Tom Lynch from Adelaide. Sam Mitchell was having a great year last year. I thought he was going to drop off. Rory Sloane was injured the first time.
Yep.
I thought, package deal, good deal. Tom Lynch is a solid forward. He's a forward you start.
Yeah.
He's not a bench stake. Nice. Oh, no. He's a player. Okay, and Sam Mitchell was playing well. I thought, good deal. I'll get Rory Sloane. Captain option when he comes. He's going to miss a couple of weeks with the broken cheek. I'm going to get him into the team. And I got panned for that trade.
You did.
How did that trade work out?
You moved on.
Pretty crap for me.
Yeah.
That's how it worked out. It worked out crap for me. Okay. So just because the trade didn't look great.
On paper?
On paper at the start. It worked out fantastic for the other guy.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. It's down to the two people doing the trade. The commissioner's just going to say yay or nay. It's not up to him if it's a good deal or not. Unless it's grossly unfair, like Gary Ablett for Gary Rowan or something like that.
Yeah, that just shouldn't happen. I mean, if you're in a league and that happens, just kick someone out.
Yeah. Or give them the Trading for Dummies 101 book.
But I really think that's really important, is just not getting worked up about other people's trades. Hey, if they feel it's fair, then, you know, maybe if there's a rookie, maybe, you know, someone new to draft, maybe you want to guide them through a little bit of things.
But, yeah.
But don't, mate, let them learn from their mistakes. Don't call them an idiot, because then they won't want to play again.
Yeah, that's right. And that's also, if people do propose a trade on, say, if you've got a Facebook page or whatever, don't bag it. If someone puts up, say, hey, I've got Jack Watts on the table for the next 20 minutes, do it privately. If you want to talk to them, don't engage.
Jack Watts is a bad example, because I'd probably bag out Jack Watts.
But for whatever, you just don't bag out, hey, that's a pretty hopeless trade, if you're putting them on the table. So
yeah, that's right.
Talk to them privately. Don't do it in the open forums as well. Moving on to a bit of waiver strategy now.
Just to the listeners, if they want to ask us anything about trades, you know, maybe we've missed it, maybe there's something you're mulling over yourself.
Yep.
Hit us up, man.
Yeah. That's on Twitter at the Draft Doctors or Facebook.com/the Draft Doctors. Hit us up there. We generally get back to you pretty quickly unless the question comes over at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
We've got a couple of interstate fans who, with time differences, eh?
That's fine.
But waiver strategy, very interesting one. Gotta love the waiver. I spend probably too much time perusing through it. But
Productivity is down on a Monday.
Yes, it is. First thing Monday morning, get on that waiver wire and see what's been happening over the weekend. One little tip that I like is know your schedule. Know the footy schedule, what teams are playing what in, in blocks of 4 or 5 weeks. So, say Jeremy Cameron's in the pool, which he was and probably will be in most leagues. If you've noticed he's playing Melbourne, Essendon and Carlton in a 3-week block, tuck him on your bench.
Yeah.
Just throw some trash away, just tuck him away.
Yeah, knowing your schedule is very important, but also, if you know your schedule and you can do things a couple of weeks in advance, you don't have to spend your waiver priority.
No, that's right.
You know, if you're floating towards the top, getting in towards the finals, you know, then you can blow it, I guess. But you shouldn't really need to if you can stash a couple of those key forward options.
Yeah. And there's going to be a revolving door around them, I think, whoever Essendon's playing each week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really funny in the first half. I think in the first half of the year, the waiver
goes pretty crazy.
The waiver can go crazy because you see all these new guys bob up. There's guys we won't have drafted who are going to break out.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's just be honest. We can't see it.
Yeah.
So having a good waiver pick early is great, but don't be afraid to blow it, I'd say, early. No.
If there's someone you like and someone out of the blue scored a couple of hundreds in a row, people are going to be gunning for it. Get in early.
Yeah, there's usually guys in your league who are a bit slow on the old waiver uptake, or guys who guard it like it's a chest of gold. It's just a tool.
See, if you're a tradie, you're really good because you get up at like 5, 6 o'clock in the morning compared to these office workers who, I don't know, do they work? Whatever. They get up at like 9 o'clock or something to go to work and have their cafe chai latte or whatever. Tradies, man.
Chai latte. Jono,
I don't know, is that a drink?
Jono throwing shade on the chai latte. Yeah, waivers are a really interesting thing because you really... There's no point not spending it, especially early. And again, if you're late, you may as well use it. So it's an interesting thing. It's just knowing who's played well. Like the score doesn't always reflect. Like you're talking about role changes. Bang, you get them. Just put it in.
Yeah, that's right. Like last year, Steve had Cade Collins-Jasny's playing lockdown defender. I think after a couple of weeks, I saw he hit the pool. Thought beauty, a waiver for that, got him straight away because there was actually other people trying to get him and went on that massive tear for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know, same thing happened. Yo was in the pool.
Waiver, Dylan Robinson.
Yeah, there's always guys in the pool who are going to come out and kill it for a little while because of injury or role or whatever.
Yeah.
But just being alert to make sure you're putting in your waivers.
Yes, that's right.
You're not always going to get these guys late. But have a look at who people have dropped as well.
Yeah.
Because if they've wavered for them then and you haven't put in for anything, then you move up the queue.
And you can pick them up as a free agent.
No, but they're not, because they're on waivers again for a couple of days. A
couple of days, but then you might be able to snag them.
Well, I'm saying if they've dropped someone good, like how was it last year? I was trying to get Malcheski early in the year.
Yeah.
He was playing like crap, and I'm like, he'll come good.
Pool time, baby.
Yeah, but he got dropped eventually, so I could pick. He got dropped, so he was on waivers for a couple of days. Bang, I got him for free.
Yeah,
and he was still crap. But
that's rolling the dice, and
but it didn't cost me anything other than my waiver pro. Yeah, I think it's more important at the start and at the end of the year. Like you generally see these guys bob up at the end of the year because
teams are tanking.
Someone's been decimated by injuries every year. Someone's decimated by injuries, and young guys get a chance in the guts. Like we saw with...
Unless you're Paul Ruse, where you will tag until the very end.
You know what? Do we want to start? We got time.
We got time.
Yeah, Paul Ruse. God damn it.
23 more weeks.
I can't wait. It's going to be sensational. We're going to have a party.
Did you hear he came out in the news saying it's going to be GWS and Melbourne playing off a grand final in 3 years?
Well, it could be.
Yeah, because he won't be there.
He won't be there. That's it. If they got... Oh.
We can't swear on this podcast, but Steve is just going bright red with ego.
If we had the cameras up to do YouTube content, that would have been, people would have been calling the ambulance and sending them around to this house.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roosie. God damn it. But yeah, waivers. You know, at the start of the year when there's role changes and players emerge, important. End of the year when
if you're chasing points,
teams are decimated, important running into the finals. But during the middle, like over the buys, not a big thing.
Buys, no, you just pick up people on the free agents. Another one, it's a bit of a dirty tactic, but position holding, where you just scoop the pool of the best, say, of whatever position forward.
That's not dirty.
You don't think so?
No. Yeah. No. Okay. Absolutely not.
I thought it might have been a bit of a cheap move just to hold all, every single mid to ransom and say no, and then try and trade them back to players for something.
Well, think about it like this. If we're going into the finals and you know pretty well that I'm going to play you and I've got like no rucks or I've got Cruiser,
yeah,
you might just see, hey, so-and-so is playing Essendon, Hawthorn are playing Essendon, I'll scoop up McAvoy or... and just kick him on the bench, and then I can't stream a ruck.
Yeah, and I actually did that. I was playing my brother in the final, grand final last year.
You've had a lot of examples here, Jono.
Yeah. When the champion, you do play a few more games than you, Steve. Vickery was on that tear in those last few weeks, so picked him up, put him on the bench, so my brother couldn't pick him up and play him against me.
Yeah, and that's another great thing to do, is just to ruin someone else's team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, that's one more thing I will say about trading. Sorry, I forgot it. Rookie era. Have a trade deadline.
Yes.
Have a trade deadline. Generally, the week after the bye rounds is a great time to have it.
There's, what, 4 or 5 weeks to go?
About 5 weeks to go.
Yeah.
Good time to have it. So, have a trade deadline. That'll encourage people to trade. And hopefully. Hopefully.
Which it should.
It should. But, you know, if you're making a push for the finals, someone's getting desperate to make the finals, you know, then you can see some big swings, especially over the bye weeks if you're playing them.
Oh, absolutely. Anything else that you got there, Steve?
On waiver? No, that's generally about it. The start and end of the year are the big waiver times for me.
Yeah. And if you've got any other questions about that, do hit us up on social media. We're quite happy to answer all your questions that you may have.
Yeah, so what are you thinking... in terms of this going into this week with the captains, is there anyone from this match you're thinking about? You would, if you had anyone, would you consider putting the C on
in the Richmond
Carlton game?
Dusty, probably, maybe as a left of field, but
Dusty hasn't scored well in round ones. I've noticed this. Someone put that up on Twitter the other day.
Okay, then not really.
Not really.
Maybe if I want a left of field, I've loved Bashir Hooley's form, but. Does he carry it over the real stuff?
Ugh, defender, captain.
Yeah, sexy. not for that game. But I have to go through the games, which we'll be talking about on Thursday. We'll have our captain's corner there, where Steve and I will go through a fair few for captains of the home and away teams.
Yep.
Late pickups, because the waivers will be open, the free agents will be open, so there was someone there that didn't get drafted and you're pretty keen on, grab them.
Yeah, maybe the Lidio injuries open the door, some of these things. We have a listener question, Jono.
Yep.
Coming in from Dylan Druitt via Facebook. And he wants to know, in a dynasty league, which young ruck on waivers do you think is the most likely to turn into a primo ruck, i.e. Sam Jacobs? He mentioned Jared Witts and Billy Longer.
Yep.
Which I think are pretty good. Reasonable choices.
Rory Lobb seems to be 2IC to Mumford.
Yeah, and being under Mumford's, you're just one...
You're guaranteed to get at least half a season.
Yeah, half a season as the number one ruck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great position. And he looks okay as well.
Yeah, he seems solid as a ruckman, yeah.
So, is there anyone else?
Phillips, maybe, for Carlton.
For Carlton. Yeah, see, these are long plays.
Yeah. Especially for a dynasty, like, how old is Nat Nui now? About 27, 28?
20s. No, that'd be in his mid-20s.
Mid-20s, okay. Well, Callum Sinclair would be one for Sydney, but he'd be gone anyway.
Well, maybe. Yep. Maybe not.
Maybe, yeah.
But is he going to turn into that primo, though, Jono? I'm not sure he can.
I think he will, but...
Okay. Yeah, I think Dylan mentioned really the best two, Witts and Longer, but,
yep.
I mean, it seems like Jared Witts is always going to be the...
2IC.
The 2IC. Well, I mean, they're just shared.
Shared rucks.
Yeah.
And I know the Doggies don't have any rucks really coming through.
No. Well, they're banking on this young kid, Will Minson.
Yeah, he's an up-and-comer. Sprightly 30-year-old. Yeah. And it looks like Gorn's going to run
Gorn's
away.
Gorn's got it at Melbourne.
Richmond, you got Sean Hampson, but no.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
They'd probably be the main...
But they're the ones off that I'd be thinking about. But Roy will probably be my clubhouse leader.
I'd take Billy Longer.
All right, I think that just about wraps up the show for this week. If you are friends of Alex or John, please vote for the team name to win an awesome Draft Doctors T-shirt.
Well, everyone can vote.
Oh, that's true. But if he's a friend, just keep clicking. Get out there and vote. I know who I'm backing in my boy, the Salem Titch Trials.
I think people will come around. Everyone loves Star Wars. Star Wars is very topical.
It is. But so were the Salem Witch Trials.
Well, maybe I'll just hit up Interesting Matt Loeb on Facebook and get their 8 billion followers to come over. Yeah.
Bang.
Dirty tactics.
Very dirty tactics. But if you would like to drop us a question, do head over to our Twitter page where we are at the Draft Doctors, or go over to the Facebook page, the facebook.com/thedraftdoctors. Send us a question there. And please do listen to our Thursday night show where we will looking into round one of the AFL season, some captain's corners, waivers, and a bit of news.
Yep.
Yep.
And, yeah, well, the big show is going to be next Monday for mine, Jono, when we get our first waiver period.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, that's going to be so bad. That's my birthday. I'm going to be tired and hungover and old.
You're already old.
Yeah. All right. Look forward to seeing you on Thursday night.
Yep. Yeah.